Workplace toxicity. Whether you're at an ambulatory surgery center or a hospital facility of any size across the country, it's most likely a part of a culture issue you're having in your institution.
Welcome to Periop Talk, making surgery safer one podcast at a time, with brief, practical information for you to take back to the OR.
With us today, we have Jill Graham. Jill's a periop educator at Livingston Healthcare, as well as a nurse writer. And she contributed to a piece in AORN that talks about reversing the toxicity in your workplace at the individual level. Jill, we'll jump right in. You know, you share a message of empowerment and ownership of each and every employee. How do you feel that employees have, and what part do they have to play in reversing this problem?
As OR nurses, we actually have a special little backdoor into microculture, which is a smaller sphere of who we interact with one-to-one on a daily basis, because we go into a room, right? And we only have 5, 6, 7 people that we're interacting with most of that day. And so we have a backdoor into that microculture. And so that actually increases our influence. As a nurse in that room, instead of one of 1,000 people in an institution, I'm now 1 of 7. And I can do what I can do to make the day better, to reverse toxicity, bad choices, grumpy actions, toxic people that are truly toxic people. But my influence is increased because I get to go in that room and have a microculture that's already set up for me.
So Jill, you know, that's a great point. When you talked about the microculture, and that's meaning that culture within the operating room, 6 to 7 individuals, elaborate on some of the tactics you do use when you're the circulating nurse or the scrub nurse in that operating room.
Yeah, so microculture influence starts with me being okay, right? And so in my mental framework, I have to approach my day appropriately. And a lot of us will look at our day and we'll see the 3 or 4 things that went wrong and think, oh, that was a really bad day, right? And instead, we should say, okay, I had 3 or 4 things go wrong. I didn't like that, but look at all the 100 things that went right. And me as 1/7 of that microculture, if I'm doing that and I'm focusing on the positive things, then I can persistently and consistently influence my microculture by being positive and pointing out the good, because that's how toxic culture comes about anyway, is persistent and habitual daily habits, weekly habits, life habits, right, of being disgruntled and feeling stuck where we're at. And it's easier to be toxic. It's easier to give a snappy answer or be grumpy or don't talk to me or I don't want to resolve that conflict. It's too much work. It takes a humility in me and a mental framework that my people that I work with are important to say, hey, you seem upset with me. What did I do that offended you? How can I make it right? Or what can I do to help you? Because I can see that you have more work than you're comfortable with. Is there something I can do? That's more work. But if I'm positive in that way, consistently, persistently, I'll start to reverse that toxicity that's so easy to fall into, especially in the OR, for obvious reasons, right?
Yeah, Jill, you know, as a periop leader myself, you could definitely see the impact of toxic culture at an individual level. So I'm curious to know from you, and hear from your experience, what negative impacts have you seen from toxic employee that has led to a full toxic culture potentially?
So I think that really comes down to the humanizing aspect. When I talk about humanizing and dehumanizing, if you talk about toxicity and all of the things that result from toxicity, we talk about devalued, unheard, disrespected, unsafe, right? All those things are inherent human rights that we have that somebody has said, no, I'm better than you. I devalue you. I'm not going to hear you, right? And so toxicity is kind of dehumanizing, lowering our fellow humans below us. And so really that toxic environment affects everybody, because now all of a sudden we feel like people don't think we're worth anything, or that we're even human, even worth human, right? And we get mad at people's mistakes and we say, oh, she forgot the safety belt. She's a terrible circulator. When she forgot the safety belt because anesthesia, all of a sudden realized that they were extubated and need help. And then the surgeon came in and asked for extra suture, and the next thing you know, the drapes are on and she was charting, and then what, right? When I make that mistake, I see my excuses. When you make that mistake, I label you as a bad circulator and I dehumanize you, and that's toxic. And so the whole environment, the feeling, the tension in the room of everyone having to prove themselves and push you off because you don't think I'm worth anything and I think I'm worth something, that really just kind of permeates this black cloud, right? And so people start to quit. People start to just treat other people even worse. People make excuses. People say, well, I'm not going to invest in that project because nobody invests in me. And you just have this nasty cycle, like it's worse and worse and worse. And I think we've all seen it in places that we've worked.
Jill, your perspective, you know, as a nurse in the operating room, as an educator, is so refreshing for me, you know, because as a peer-app leader, I often felt like, you know, maybe this was a misperception on my part, but I felt like employees were looking at me, especially with that one toxic employee, right? That maybe behind the scenes you are handling, right? You're going through a process with, but it felt like they were always looking at me. Talk to us more about how you, as the individual nurse, try to reverse that toxicity with that individual.
Absolutely. I think the thing that we have to remember is that everyone has a story. There's a cliche out there that says hurt people hurt people. It's become a cliche, but a lot of the cliches we have are true, right? And so I'll never forget, I went through a time in my life that was really, really difficult. And then somebody reacted to me in a situation, overly so, and assumed something about me that was wrong. And it really opened my eyes to, I was barely able to go to work without tearing up and crying because my dad was terminally ill. And then someone made this assumption about me, and I thought, you don't even know what I'm going through, and you didn't give me credit that maybe I'm a good nurse having a really bad day. Maybe I'm a really good nurse, but I've got such a personal load back here that I am having a hard time functioning. I need your help. I need your support. I don't need your judgment. And I don't need you misinterpreting who I am or my abilities, right? So all of those conversations with toxic people have to start with, are you okay? Is there something that is too hard for you or that is becoming harder for you that I can help with? And especially as a leader, you have the power to pull someone in and say, tell me your story. What's going on? Are your kids sick? Is your husband trying to leave you? Is your girlfriend mad because you work so much call? Like, tell me what's going on. What's happening? Because your teammates are feeling there's a disconnect there, right? Instead of bringing someone in and saying, your behavior is terrible, I need you to fix it. There's a big difference there, right? And so dealing with that one person, there's a story, and I'm going a little bit long on this answer, I apologize, but there's a story about a man walking along the road, and the sun and the wind have an argument. And the wind says, I bet you I can get him to take his coat off. And the sun says, no, you can't. The wind says, watch. And the wind blows and blows and blows as hard as he can, as cold as he can, right? But what does the guy do? He holds his coat tighter and doesn't come off. And the sun says, watch. And he just blows and warms him up. And the next thing you know, the coat comes off, is over the arm, and the gentleman's having a better day because the sun is shining, right? But the point is, we underestimate what kindness can do. Now we have to do a caveat, right? If you're being bullied, if someone's being legitimately mean and inappropriate, that's something where a manager needs to step in with some sort of disciplinary action. But that person that's being toxic still probably has a story that needs to be addressed. So kindness is way bigger than I think we ever give credit for.
Yeah, it's that. And, you know, Jill, you do a really nice job illustrating what a lot of the research is talking about right now, which is a human-centered approach, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing that a lot of conversation and research is coming out on is, you know, and it's not rocket science per se, but we are in an era where nurses, surgical techs, staff of all sorts are oftentimes, because of toxic culture, are saying that they're moving on to a different department, a different hospital, right? This is a pervasive issue across many businesses and definitely in healthcare. Do you, you know, I get the vibe from you that if you as an individual with your influence and others, that can help, you know, curb that problem. What do you say to that?
I say absolutely. There's a ton of research, like you said, out there about retention of employees, and all of it is centered, all the results that are coming back are what you said, human-centered, a genuine appreciation, a genuine belonging, a genuine gratitude for who you're working with and what they're able to do. Harvard just came out, or not just, Harvard came out at some point, I forget the year, I apologize. Harvard came out with a study about the 5 habits of highly successful teams. And one of those was frequent expression of appreciation. And then there's a whole nother company called Appreciation at Work that goes into companies and surveys the employees to see how they want to be shown appreciation. And OC Tanner came out with a study that 79% of employees who voluntarily left their jobs was because they didn't feel appreciated. That's almost 4 out of 5 people that left their jobs left because they weren't appreciated. But again, we have a caveat. It has to be sincere. So when a management team sends out an email saying, hey, sorry you had to stay late again, you guys rock. You're the most bestest team in the whole world to everybody in the Periop group, it falls a little flat, right? It's probably true and they probably are grateful. When my team member comes up to me specifically and says, I so appreciate that you were there for that PEDS case during induction. I was a little nervous, but your support meant the world to me. Thank you. That's personalized and it's unique and it's genuine. There's something in their heart that really is grateful. And that's what makes a difference in showing our team members appreciation. That's the difference in having a team that you belong in. And that's the difference in turnover.
Thank you very much for your time, Jill. You provided amazing insight on this very important topic. If you haven't yet checked out Jill's piece that we're alluding to from AORN, it's called 4 Ways Staff Nurses Can Reverse Toxic Work Culture. We'll see you next time.
Enjoyed the episode? Please like, comment, and subscribe. For additional Periop content, look for us on Instagram at AORNPix and on Facebook and LinkedIn at AORN. You can also find us at AORN.org. Thanks for listening.